أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. Dear viewers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As you remember, our previous discussions were focused on two main issues: the importance of morality and the advantages of morality. We talked in detail about the importance and significance of morality. And we also talked in a rather great length about the advantages of morality. This is because if we are aware of the importance of moral values, and if we know about the different uses and the different advantages of moral values, we will be interested further in moral values, and we will give time to pursuing moral principles. Of course, if we do not agree with the importance of morality, or if we do not know about the different advantages and benefits of moral values, we will not be encouraged to pursue moral studies. In order to motivate you, in order to provide you motivation, I talked in detail about these two issues before. And today I'm going to talk about the definition of morality. What is morality? How can we define it? As I pointed out before, morality is a set of habits and a set of qualities that result automatically and very spontaneously to good or bad deeds. If you develop good habits, you do the good deeds very easily. On the contrary, if you develop bad habits, bad qualities, then you do the bad things very easily and very spontaneously. And this is the definition provided by Islamic moral scholars. This is Ibn Miskaweh, a great moral scholar, who says, "Al-khulq halun lin-nafs, da'iyatun laha ila af'aliha min ghayri fikrin wa rawiyya." Khulq, or morality, is something that describes soul, and that is found in soul. And once it is found in soul, it provokes the soul to do its deeds automatically and without any contemplation. In Arabic language, there are two terminologies. One is khulq and one is khalq. When we talk of akhlaq or morality, we take the plural form of khulq. Akhlaq is the plural form of khulq. And khulq is the singular form of akhlaq. But we have also khalq. What is the difference between khulq and khalq? How can we differentiate between these two terminologies? According to lexical studies, khulq and khalq are of the same root and are of the same origin. But the difference between the two is that khulq describes your spiritual build-up and your spiritual structure, whereas khalq describes your physical structure and your physical shape. If a person has got good habits, these good habits form his morality. And if a person gets bad habits, then these habits form his moral personality. But as far as khalq is concerned, khalq is related to your physical structure. Are you handsome or not? Are you beautiful or not? Whether you are beautiful or not, whether you are handsome or not, these are the things that fall within the category of khalq. And that is why there are traditions that make use of these two terminologies, khalq and khulq. There is a supplication that says, Allahumma hassin khulqi, Allahumma hassin khalqi wa khulqi. O God, better my creation and my morality. Make my form, make my physical form better. And make my morality also better. So you see that khalq is your physical form, and khulq is your spiritual form. Khalq is related to your body and to your physique, whereas khulq is related to your spirit, to your soul. And there is also another tradition that also says the same thing. In this tradition is found and Safinatul Bahar, written and compiled by Sheikh Abbas Qumi. He says, إِنَّكَ إِمْرَأٌ قَدْ أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ خَلْقَكَ فَأَحْسِنْ خُلْقَكَ. According to this tradition, the infallible tells you that you are a person. God has created you in the best possible way. You have well-shaped eyes, you have well-shaped body, and you are able to move around, and you are able to do your works properly. These are all the benefits God has given to you. So as a result, be thankful to God. And how can you be thankful to God? How can you thank God? This tradition tells you the way you can thank God. It says that فَأَحْسِنْ خُلْقَكَ. Therefore, better your morality. Be well-mannered. Improve your manner. Improve your morality. If you improve your morality, if you capitalize on your morality and better your morality, then of course you have practically thanked God. Verbal thanking, thanksgiving is not important. Everybody might do a verbal thanksgiving. But what is important and what matters a lot is the practical thanksgiving. You must thank God practically. If you observe moral values and if you respect God's words, this is a practical thanksgiving. And by doing so, God will help you do your duties fully and comfortably. So what is now the definition of morality? Now that you have come to understand that there is khalq and there is khulq, and khalq is the creation and related to your physique, and khulq is related to your spirit, and therefore you can conclude that morality is a set of habits, a set of qualities that are related to your soul. And once they are inculcated in your soul, you will be able to do the things, the deeds, very easily and very comfortably. What conclusion can we draw from this definition? Number one, habits are what the moral scholars call malaka or adat, habits or secondary habits. They are of two kinds. Some habits are good and some habits are bad. Sometimes you get used to smoking. This is a very bad. Sometimes you get used to drinking. This is also a very bad habit. Sometimes you get used to lying or to telling a lie. This is again a very bad habit. But sometimes you get used to doing proper things, to doing good things, such as speaking the truth, doing your religious duty fully, and helping others. So all these are habits, but habits are, as I told you, of two kinds. Some are good and some are bad. Some are beneficial and advantageous, and some are very harmful. And one must try to develop those habits that are useful, that help you throughout your life. And one must shun those habits and those qualities that are dangerous, that are harmful, that harm you, that harm the society, and that ruin your relation with others. So that the first result that we can draw from this definition is that habits are of two kinds, good habits and bad habits. The second conclusion that we must draw from this definition is that the habits are something that are permanent. You see, when you actually experience some feelings, your feelings are of two kinds. Sometimes your feelings will stay with you. Sometimes your feeling will not leave you. They will always be with you. And at other times, there are feelings that are not always with you. They leave you as soon as you leave the experience. For example, when one meets an accident, one might feel pain. And his body or his organ will start aching. But this feeling is not permanent. As soon as your injury gets better, then you will no longer have this feeling. There's the feeling of act will not be remaining with you. But there are other types of feelings that will remain with you. As I give you the example of smoking, if you get used to smoking, this is a kind of quality that exists within you. And this quality will remain with you. And you will not be able to shun this habit or to quit it very easily. There is a proverb that says that old habits or habits get long time before they die. It takes you time to fight your habits, and it takes you time to develop new habits. So the thing is that habits are something that are permanent and that are not changing every now and then. The third conclusion that I want to draw is that every habit leads not to every kind of action. Instead, every habit leads to an action that is similar to it. And that is why we say that good habits lead to good actions, and bad habits lead to bad actions. And there is actually a very mutual relation between the two. Good habits never result in bad actions, and bad habits never result in good actions. So attempts have to be made to develop good habits, because it is good habits that result in good actions, and it is good habits that provide you with the opportunity to do good deeds. The fourth result that I want to draw from the definition I provided is that habits lead to actions very much automatically. You see that sometimes you do something, but you are able to do it with contemplation and with thinking. If you do not think beforehand, and if you do not contemplate, you will not be able to do that thing. But if you get used to doing it, then you are able to do it without thinking and without contemplation. Look at those who are walking on a rope, acrobatic actions. They walk on a rope, and it is very difficult for us to imagine such kind of things. And we cannot imagine walking on a wall. But there are people who can practically do it. This is because they have learned this, and they have gained the experience, and they have gained the skill. And therefore, we should try to develop habits, because once we have developed the habits, then we are able to do the good deeds very easily. So that is the definition we provided for morality. And now we will be giving you also an explanation about what we call the science of morality. Yes, we so far talked about the definition of morality, and we said that that morality is a set of values, a set of qualities, a set of habits that result and good or bad actions. And now there is another terminology that is also very much important. We sometimes talk about akhlaq or morality, and sometimes we talk about the ilmi akhlaq or the science of morality. So what is the science of morality? As I mentioned before, the science of morality is a science that studies these habits, these qualities, and provides you with mechanisms to develop these habits or to shun these habits. This is the function of the science of morality. So in other words, the science of morality studies different habits Of course, you have different habits, different adat, different malakat, different habits, different secondary habits, different qualities. The science of morality comes and studies all these qualities, all these habits, and all these moral values. And then what does it do? It gives you actually mechanisms to shun bad habits. It tells you how to fight your bad habits. It shows you the way. It guides you throughout and tells you how to fight your bad habits, how to get rid of bad habits. So this is the second function of the science of morality. And there is also the third function for the science of morality. The science of morality tells you how to develop good habits. It tells you that if you do your religious duties, if you do your religious obligations fully and completely, you will be able to develop good habits. And if you linger over these habits, if you continue these things for a longer period of time, then good habits will be automatically developed in you. And bad habits also can be shunned and can be left if one actually does certain things prescribed by the science of morality. Fasting is a very good mechanism through which one can leave bad habits. When a person fasts, he is actually provided with the opportunity to leave many of the things that are bad, and he will be conscious of his duties. The person who fasts will not tell a lie, and he will not steal the property of others, and he will not transgress, and he will not do other things, and he will be mindful of his actions. And by being in such a state of fear, he will be able to shun bad habits, and he will be able to do good habits. So far, we have touched two things. The first thing is the definition of morality, and the second thing is the function of the science of morality. And now let me add another point to this. According to our moral scholars, all sciences fall within either of these two categories. The sciences are either theoretical or practical. Sciences such as philosophy, sciences such as mathematics, this kind of sciences fall within the category of theoretical sciences or theoretical philosophy. And sciences like morality, like law, these are the sciences that fall within the category of practical science. So if we want to use the terminology provided by moral scholars, we must say that the science of morality is not from among the theoretical sciences. Rather, it is from among the practical sciences. If you want to follow moral sciences, you must go and study practical sciences. And one of the branches of the practical science is the moral science. And by studying moral science, you will be able to find out different habits and different qualities. And you will also be able to develop the habits that are good and to shun the habits that are bad. And this is a remark that needed to be made. Another point that has to be raised in this connection is that though moral values include all kind of actions, but practically, when moral scholars talk of moral behavior, they mean good things. When they say that it is a moral act, they mean that it is a good act. When they say that it is an immoral act, then they mean that it is a bad act and it has to be shunned. So though basically we can say that the term morality or the term moral includes all kind of habits and all kind of actions, whether they are good or bad. But practically speaking, the term morality or the term moral includes only the actions that are good, and they do not include the actions that are bad. And how can we understand that an action is good or bad? By referring to religious texts, we can come to know that an action is good. If the religious texts tell us that these actions have to be done, then from this we understand that these actions are good. And when the religious texts tell us that something is bad and something has to be shunned, then we understand that they are bad and we must abandon them. So one of the ways for understanding the goodness or badness of an action is to refer to religious texts. There are other criteria also. For example, we should see at the reaction of the people. If you do something, and if the people praise you, if the people applaud you, if the people appreciate you, then you can conclude that the action is good. And if you do something and the people do not appreciate you, and the people try to rebuke you, then you can understand from this that the action you have done is not good and it has to be abandoned. So these are the ways through which we can understand whether an action is good or bad. Thank you very much.